We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We had a wonderful time studying the Lord, and the Lord blessed, and the church is able to come together, and we gave 7,600 and 7,260 on the offering for paper for the year. Praise the Lord for that, your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be in verse number 12. Glad to see some back that were sick and feeling better. And thing about living in Central Florida with all the travelers and tourists that come from all over the place, I don't think one simple flu shot gets it. There's so many coming from different places. I think you could get three different strands of flu by the time flu season's over with. Yeah, before you get over it, you catch one, two, and three. It's good to have visitors come our way from all around the world, though. We had good visitors Sunday, amount of visitors. We had a really good crowd Sunday, and actually every service this year we've had really good turnout. With several sick, several traveling, every service. So I think Brother Johnson was talking about that the other day. If we had everybody here, we'd probably been up around 150. We had quite a few misses Sunday. And still had a good crowd, which is good. The Lord's just been blessing. We had some come Sunday night that got our postcards. Another one came Sunday morning from the newspaper ad from the Osceola Gazette. So I'm telling you, it works, church. It really works. Just getting out there, knowing people, letting people know that we're here, and just staying active at caring for people. It really makes a difference. I was commenting the other day to Brother Montgomery, who was driving back here towards the church, and I told him that I really have been surprised with the customer service level at Publix this past 18 months or so. It has really, I don't know if you've been in there. I'm not a salesman for Publix. I don't like shopping nowhere. If I go, I go get what I want and get out. But I have noticed the last 18 months that how Publix has really put forth a good foot at talking to you, how you doing, glad you're here, and is there anything that we can get you? And I tell you, it reminds me a lot of our church and how I see people going and talking to people, and it makes a difference when you do that. People feel like that you're concerned with them. And so keep it up, church. Keep it up. 1 Corinthians 12:12. This evening, let's go ahead and finish, read out the whole thing. We'll not get down to verse 31, but we'll read all the way down to verse number 31. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the, not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? The whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God have tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all these apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, we realize that chapters 12, 13, and 14 are talking all about the same subject, topic, going through spiritual gifts and the use of those inside the church. And we covered in 2 weeks the earlier part of this chapter. And now we're getting down to an identification of the body. Now, almost universally, as you begin to look at that, verses 12 through 31, many Bible teachers and scholars will misinterpret this portion of Scripture. Now, many good men have been led to believing in a universal church by misinterpreting this Scripture, this portion of passage. You have to understand something. Keep in mind that 1 Corinthians was written to who? The church at Corinth. So the entire context has to be looked at, written to a local New Testament church. And what's a local church? It's a visible body of believers that have been baptized. They come together for one purpose, and that is to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, following the Scriptures as its sole authority. And so we don't gather ourselves up in a corner and say, well, our group is going to do it like this, and their group can do it like that. No, we all sing on the same sheet of music. Can't have solos. When it comes to church operation and church validity and the organization of the church. But a lot of people have misinterpreted this portion of the passage and come out believing that there is a universal church. Now listen, when I'm saved, I am saved into the family of God. Into the family of God. 1 John chapter 1, 12, it's given us power to become the sons of God. Amen. So when I'm saved, I'm saved into the family. I become part of God's family. I'm not going to heaven later if I never join a church. I'm going to heaven because I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm in the family of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ established the local church in His earthly ministry. You can study that out in the book of Matthew. He established His church. The church at Jerusalem, if you go back into the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2, you find out that there were 120 members They're in the church. There's 120 of us. They're numbered if you go back and study it. And you go into Acts chapter 2, and the same day after Peter preached, there was 3,000 that was added. So if you add something, you've got to have something. So if I got one piece of candy and I add two, I got three. But they're still all my pieces of candy. So you go back, you got to keep it in context. Keep it and look at it in its entirety. So we know that 1 Corinthians was written to the church of Corinth. Well, who was the 2 Corinthians written to? Church of Corinth. Well, why are we studying? Because God has correlated the 66 books, which we call the Bible, as His love letter to us that we might have a pattern to follow. So a lot of good men have come into this here chapter and then they leave out believing in a universal church or universal body. But Church of Corinth was a local body of believers. The premises and thought and teaching on a universal body, a church, lacks authority. Who are we accountable to? Now, this is kind of a little class. We're not going to get far into this. Our membership is accountable to first the head, which is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're accountable to the membership. With the universal church, people are accountable to the clergy. The clergy kind of takes a higher spot than he belongs. You understand that the pastor of a church has one vote on all things like each member. One vote. You know, and those that believe in the universal church, those that believe in it don't get no vote, no say-so. There's a group of hierarchy of men who make all the decisions. And you notice it throughout the denominations. They're having trouble. I'm not trying to downgrade anybody's denomination. But the Methodist Church is having a lot of trouble. Because this group of men making decisions trying to affect what's going down. The Presbyterian Church, lots of trouble. Same problem. Why? Because they're believing in the universal Catholic Church, same problem. Pope is way up here, and he tells the cardinals make some decisions, then they pass it on to everybody else. I'm going to ask you this. What business does First Baptist Church of Orlando have to set any precedence or authority that affects our church here in Boggy Creek? It doesn't. Nothing at all. That's why we're autonomous. We make our own decisions based on as we follow the Scripture. We follow the Bible. Which is a good reason beyond the authority portion is that if one goes bad, they go bad alone. And listen, Baptist churches across America have to make a choice to follow the Scripture. We're accountable to the Bible. Every church should be the same way. Every denomination, their accountability should be the Bible. Not creeds of men. Creeds of men come from greed of men. So we should be careful to understand that, hey, if a church of like faith goes astray, we don't have to follow. Why? We have God's Word. If we choose to follow, we're at fault. Guess what's going to happen whenever we get to heaven as a church? We have to give an account of our church. It's going to happen. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about it. Talks about giving account of the body and that the pastor would give an account of the church members that he might not do it grievously, but with joy. So what's going to happen? Well, just like when I as an individual stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, give an account, our church will give an account. We're not going to be able to say, but yet, Lord, the Second Baptist Church in New Jersey, they did it this way, and we just followed them. He's going to say, you the blind, follow the blind? You had my word. You had my life. You had my pattern. You had my direction. You can't blame it on them. You chose to go the route you went. Dads, break it on down. In the church, they're families, right? Well, you can't say, well, Brother Price did it this way, so I'm going to follow what Brother Price did, though he be wrong. He's older than me, so I'm going to follow him and do what he did. You know what God's going to say? You have the Bible. You are responsible. See, great privileges, dear friend, comes great responsibility. Universal church removes responsibility. We're responsible. So they go into this passage and they come out believing and teaching that there is a universal body called the invisible church, or the a lot of people call it the Catholic Church, which would cover everything, Catholic, universal, everything, more than just the Catholic denomination. So we have to understand something, that when we're dealing with the Bible, we need to keep it in context. And it's written for, the whole Bible is written for us. Listen, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. I'm not one that wants to discredit the Bible and say, well, we're in the church age, so we only deal with the epistles. The epistles are where we get church doctrine. We don't get church doctrine, dear friend, from Ezekiel. You may get some prophecy, but you don't get church doctrine. You get church doctrine where the Bible is talking about that which is known as a church. You don't go find church doctrine in Genesis. We find the creation in Genesis. 6 days, by the way. Not six of a thousand days, but 6 days. Like it was written. It's truth in Genesis just like it is in the epistle. We keep it in context. What does the Bible teach us in the epistles, in the epistle writings, in the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all these epistles? What does it teach us? It teaches us that those things was written before, were written for our admonition, for our example. They are in samples for us to learn from. So the Old Testament is not discredited, my friend. Not at all. Neither is prophecy, which is things yet to come. But we're not dealing and living in the yet-to-come things. I told Brother Josh this today. We have got to be careful that we are living in the present and taking care of the present. For tomorrow is evil for the day. We got to do now what's right. Now, prophecy is good. Creation is good. It's all Bible. Same God, by the way. Amen. Same Lord. Same Holy Spirit. Is that what we learn? In Scripture. So we got to be careful that we keep it in context. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It's not very difficult to understand that what the Bible is saying right here, we have different members. I think on our membership list right now we have 85 members. Let's say this here. If you go into your garage and you stay there 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, you don't become a car. You're still a human. Simply because you come to church for 6, 7, 8, 9 months doesn't make you a member. You are welcome as part of our fellowship and our community and believers. But membership has privilege, and it has a process, a biblical process. It's not that we are just funny that way. It's a biblical process. So as you go along and you learn, and sometimes it takes a while. And I'm not going to make embarrass nobody, but when I first came, Brother Bill and his family was visiting, and it took them a while to make the decision, and then they followed the Lord's leading to join the church and to become members. It takes, you got to follow the Lord. You can't follow emotions. It's a good decision to be part of a church. It is a good decision. Why? Because the Lord established it. But you need to be obedient to the Lord and follow His leadership. It says, we have different members, but we're one body. Brother Jim's a member. Brother Nelson, his family's a member. My family's a member. Brother Johnson. Different body, different members, but what? When we come together as a church, we're one body. Well, church down the road, they're constituted, they're following the scriptures, that's their sole authority, they're lined up with New Testament. Guess what? One body. We're one body. Put them all together. Like our church has many different members. Well, the body of Christ as a whole has different members, but one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, one body. You have to understand that it's the big picture that is pointing out. And we're all different. All different. But we are accountable as a church to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as it's written under the church of Corinth, and it's one body and members in particular, as it goes on and says there, this is a local body. A local establishment. A place where you can actually come and join us. And while I'm here, help me understand and help me that we stay on the same sheet of music. Our church isn't this building. This is just a place of worship where we join ourselves together. In Greece, when we were there planning the church in Greece, we didn't have a room to have a baptistry. Just didn't have room. We were renting a storefront. There was no way to do it. So our church was convening at the sea on baptism Sunday. We didn't tear down the building to take with us. Our body of believers joined themselves together. We had church, and we did church ordinance, baptism. Amen. At the sea. Why'd you do that? Because the church was the people, not the building. Amen. The next Sunday, we, as a church, went back to our place of worship, where it was established, had an address, just like we do here. God, in His sovereignty, one day may add to our church and grow us and fill us up and say that there we had a membership of 2,000, 3,000. We couldn't fit any more. And so it leads us to move. Guess what? Just because the people move doesn't mean that the church is done away with. You don't dissolve the church. Why? The church is people. It's the body. We're the body. And that helps you to understand as it gets on down there and it starts talking about if the whole body was the eye, where were the hearing? And the whole body was the hearing. Where were the smelling? Praise God, we're not running around here as one big large nose. Can you imagine come cold season? Whew! Talking about schism. One sneeze. Just blow everything away, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, though, sometimes in a local body of believers, everybody wants to become the nose or the ear or the eye. So this happened at the church of Corinth. And so the Apostle Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, began to correct the wrong thinking. You know, they begin to think, his job's more important than my job. What she's doing is far greater, more honorable than what I'm doing. Not in God's eyes. I'm going to tell you, if you come into the house of God and you're only able, or you're only led, and the Holy Spirit of God only directs you to do, say two things. Be kind, bring people, giving them directions. And if you see a piece of trash in the pew and you pick it up, straighten it up, and you do that to the best of your ability, your job is as important as the Discovery Club teachers over there. Now, they have a tough job, needful job, but you're no less important in the eyes of God than. You know what keeps peace in the church? When everybody realizes that we're on a team. We're one body. There's no big I's and little U's. It gets that away sometimes, don't it? I mean, not here. I haven't seen it. But it could, couldn't it? Well, how, Pastor? We try not to because we're humans. And every now and then we just need to stop and check ourselves in and say, hey, God, if you choose to make me the armpit of our church, I'll do it to the best of my ability to bring you the glory. God, if you choose to make me the kneecap of our church, I'm going to do it for your honor and for your glory. That there's not schisms. As we study along, you're going to see this as we get on down there. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Seems like a very difficult verse to understand, doesn't it? Uh-oh, this is where they start leading on. So that means whenever the Spirit... What Spirit are we talking about here? Holy Spirit? Some other spirit? Well, how are we baptized into the... How do we become a member of a local church? You get saved first. You must be baptized in the church folks you in. Into one body. Not into a universal body. But into a local body. For by one Spirit are y'all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You keep it in context, you understand that this here is talking about water baptism. We talked about a body. We talked about becoming one body. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond free, or have been all made to drink into the Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So the word baptism here is talking about water baptism. Like it talks about Ephesians 4 or 5, there is one body, one Spirit, and even as ye are called in the one hope or your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one kind of body, the kind of faith, and one kind of baptism. You cannot have water baptism, Spirit baptism, because the Bible says that there is only one baptism in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5. So they come here thinking, wow, there's got to be a universal church. Not if you keep it in context. Water baptism, not Spirit baptism. I am born again into the family of God. When I'm baptized, I am joined a local body, a New Testament church. So Don't make it more difficult by getting out of context. Scripture always interprets Scripture. Always. And so we follow along and say, well, that's pretty difficult. Well, if it's difficult right now, you know what we have living inside of us? The greatest teacher of all, the Holy Spirit of God. And say, God, this is your word. There's no contradictions. There's no falsities in it. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Help me to understand. Well, preacher, what happens if I don't understand tomorrow? Keep learning, waiting, listening to the Lord. Keep it in context. If the plain sense make common sense, seek no other sense. If a truth has been established, already plain and simple truth has been established in Scripture, and you come across a Scripture such as this that is seemingly difficult, don't make another truth to contradict the other one that is established. God's Word is settled, is forever true, and it will not change because we try to make it fit preconceived ideas. We've got to be careful with that. So as we study this, we get through this, thank you for your patience, and next week we're going to pick up right here and get into more of a preaching time instead of a teaching time. But when you're looking at this passage, remember Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5, where it talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Keep in mind that this book is written to 1 Corinthians. The 1 Corinthians is written to the church at Corinth. Well, where do you find that, Pastor? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Go all the way back and find the context of the Scripture. And as we get into next week in verses 14 through 27, we're going to find the importance of each and every member of the body. Oh, it's so important. Understand, church, we are the church of Lock Haven. When they talk about Lock Haven Baptist Church, the world says the building's here. But the Bible says we, the people, are the church of Lock Haven. Oh, preacher, what does that mean? That means when we're downtown, they see Lock Haven. We need to be more on Tuesday night like we are on Sunday morning. That's when real church happens. Friday night needs to be exactly like Sunday morning. Because that's when real church happens. I heard a song one time. It's called Between Sundays. Between Sundays. That's the real Christian, between Sundays. Well, it's come Sunday morning, we can first shine it up, can't we? I mean, it's pretty easy to fill up ourselves with a little joy for about an hour and a half. I'm convinced that that's why some of us watch our watch. Because we got a slow leak. We done figured it out. Come an hour and 20 minutes, ain't going to be no more joy, Brother Johnson. We're going to be saying, preacher, would you shut up? I got to go. Between Sundays. If we can live like we do on Sunday morning, between Sundays, what can we do for God? Amen. Let's stand to our feet.